made my friend put that slide, and if you remember, I told you the seven mass time of the planet, and there in Easter Island you've got seven statues like that. Very interesting. But that is normal. For me it's normal. It's interesting for you, but, because I know what's happened. Okay? Seven statues. Okay, of course it doesn't look like my people because it's stylized. Those sculptures are very difficult. Stylized statue. But it looks like them because it's gigantic. Okay. Now, that's for Easter Island, but that great civilization of people, very great civilization of people, civilized about all the planet. Same went by South America and civilized through the Amazon and passed through and civilized and went to Atlantis. Atlantis went in Greece and Greece in Egypt. And the other one went by Burma, by and finally India, and went to Egypt too by the east. Those people had so great civilization they could speak. They could speak with other planet from the planet Earth. So some people here say, what is he talking about? He lost his mother. Okay. On this planet now, you have our government, sorry, our scientists, tell you every day, nothing like UFO, nothing like extraterrestrial, you're making a big mistake. Forget about it. It's nothing. All those things. No extraterrestrial. But every day they spend millions and millions of dollars to send radio signal through the space. Because they say it is somebody there. Maybe he can answer. And listen to that one now. They say, oh, we are going to send a radio signal, and they build a machine, and they send the radio signal. Hello, we are here, planet Earth. Hello, how are you? Then they send that at the speed of the gentleman, say, whatever, 300,000 kilometers per second, with speed of light. But still it's too slow. So 10 or 20 years after, they receive an answer from another planet. Oh, we are well, thank you very much. What about you? So you can't have a conversation like that, do you? No, it's impossible. So what is faster than the speed of light? What is immediate?
Sure.
Thank you very much. Aha! Thank you very much. So it is a thought. So, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to telepath. Good. And you start to telepath. It's good. So you telepath in Mars, Venus, whatever, a bit even further. But you are a poor human being. You are in a physical body like that. Even with your astral body, you don't have enough energy to go to the end or the end of the galaxy. I'm sorry if somebody thinks the contrary, but it is what it is. And you don't have enough strength. The pyramid, please. Enough strength to communicate very far in a galaxy. Then those people of Mu, they had a knowledge and they knew how to build. Don't worry, that one is from Cheops. But on the continent of Mu, before the destruction, 14,500 years ago, they had the knowledge from their planet and they built the pyramid. Be very, very careful, everybody here, of what I say. I even say the pyramids. I am talking about the pyramid of Cheops for the moment, but in Mu, that continent, they had a pyramid three times bigger than that, but exactly the same scale. You know what I mean by scale, if that one is 100 meters, the other one was 300 meters, 200 like that, she was 600, whatever. The exact dimension is very important and the orientation. Why? Because the pyramid is made a certain way to make inside the you call that the chamber of the king or king of chamber,
king
chamber, thank you, over there a sort of zero magnetism. It's a tremendous magnetic field, and that pyramid is built to give to the user over there the absolute strength to send thoughts through the galaxy by that place. Then our very good scientists call it an air shaft. It's not an air shaft. That one is not an air shaft. And nobody, of course, could find a mummy here, because it never been any mummies there, and it will never be, because even in a sarcophage, they were lying alive, meditating and sending thoughts. Now, it's something very important. It's so much force, a magnetic field on that pyramid. First of all, as many people don't know that, in each lecture I ask, if somebody know it, just telling me, it's forbidden to any plane on a planet to pass on the top of the pyramid, because it's the Great Pyramid, because it is very dangerous, because by magnetism everything electric and electronic stop. For a few seconds it can be very dangerous, so it's forbidden. The second thing, inside the pyramid, people tell you, example, oh, I spend a night, or I can spend 15 days in a pyramid. That's a lie, because you die, because you can't do that. And I heard so many stuff like that since I came back. And I was in Phoenix, Arizona, in the United States of America. I was talking about on the radio. 3 hours on the radio. Fortunately, it was plenty of advertising. I had a cup of coffee. And between a break, the journalist said to me, I've been with 7 of friends, we went in a Great Pyramid, we spent the night. I said to myself, that's it, another liar, you can't spend a night in a Great Pyramid, from what I know. But he was not lying, he said to me, and the next morning we were sick like dogs. I said, that's become interesting. He told me they were with, what do you call it? Tape recorders, camera, everything being erased, and they were very, very disappointed because of the magnetic field inside the Great Pyramid. So that Great Pyramid was, I'm talking about Mu, but of course the Great Pyramid now we're talking about, that one is a cosmic tool. You can contact different galaxies for the user who knows how to use by telepathy, can contact worlds very, very far away and have a conversation, telepathic conversation at the other side of the galaxy. That is the great explanation of the Great Pyramid. Now, can I have the photograph of the Great Pyramid? Now, how did they build the Great Pyramid? Oh yes, by the way, we are going to talk to stop and a bit on that subject and do something very interesting also, of course, for everybody. I don't know if people yesterday saw me on television and Kerry-Anne said, do you have any proof? Do you have any proof? But I missed for about 1 minute. In 1 minute I could tell her. I was telling her the proof are in a book. Because, as I said before, when I was with Tao, the first thing I said to Tao, nobody's going to believe me, I hope you give me, you know, a piece of metal or some shit. She said, no, we don't give you anything, because you're very good to disprove on Earth. If we give you a proof, even a piece of metal, any scientist can say, oh yes, that metal doesn't exist on the planet Earth, but maybe he got a secret alchemist who's done the metal for him. So they won't believe you anyway. But she didn't tell me. I was wondering why she make me put all those information about pyramids, life on Mars. You remember the life on Mars on the first chapter? Maybe the first chapter, the second chapter. It's just a few lines I explain who were the people on Mars, what they were eating, and they were life on Mars about 1,045,000 years ago. 1,345,000 years ago. And I was wondering when I write the book, why always talking about that, the Great Pyramid, and so on and so on, and sort of secret revelation on stuff we talk and talk and talk about it on Earth all the time. And now I understand, that's what I wanted to say to Claire, I understand very well why, because every day, the proof I wanted became reality in my book. Not in a book, the proof are in a book because, example, nobody believed life on Mars. And now if you watch the television or whatever, our scientists say, we found fossils, certainly it was life on Mars, it's maybe still life on Mars, etc., etc. So every day I laugh, because as a joke I say, open my book, read it and talk. You know, because now they discover things I put in a book. I'm very happy. Now, the second thing is much more spectacular for people like skeptic, of course, nothing wrong to be skeptic, but people like Kerry-Anne, an example, to talk about here, say, okay, you sure it's more spectacular to see if it's true or not. If, like she seemed to think, I was inventing the book. I'm a landscaper architect, I'm not a scientist first, but if I was tremendous imagination, then inventing the whole book, I could say, listen, everybody, because it's been thousands of books written on the Great Pyramid, with all different theories, I could say, listen, all those guys, they talk about 4,000 years old, the Great Pyramid, 4,000, maybe 5,000. If I do something, I could put 5,500 years, you know, to be not like those. 6,000 years? I can't go further, it's ridiculous, it's a mistake. But it is very, very funny, because you are going to read what I put in my book. In 93, can I have a photograph of the last... Yeah, go for it, it must be next. Yeah, that's it. That's what is in my book. Great Pyramid of Cheops, constructed by Thoth, not Cheops. Everybody tell you it's Cheops. Because they thought it was at the time of Cheops, yes. The Cheops used it. So now, 17,000 years ago, I'm a stupid idiot, because I should, it's impossible. Why do I jump like that? I don't jump, I don't care, I say what they told me. So now, 17,000 years ago, and if you read the last news, the, how do you call that? The guy who dig.
Archaeologist.
Oh, thank you. The archaeologist. And they dig and they look also at the Sphinx, and you know that. They understood not long ago with the erosion and so on and so on. Oh my God, the Sphinx, it's a great pyramid, is maybe 12,500 years, not more, 4,000. And plus, and I laugh and I say, go 4,000 more. That's it, you'll be right. I am laughing, and that is proof. That is proof, because they are going to finally find out it is 17,000. I know that. So what about that? That's very interesting. And, now we are going to talk about something else. They still don't believe on it, but they will soon. Still cosmic. The stone of 50 tons. Remember to move the statue and all that stuff? And that is simply what I say here, because... by the way, in a great pyramid, can I have the schema of the great pyramid, the drawer? Yes, that one. I'm going to tell you something. You don't know that. You see up there, I try to get it there. That here is one stone inside. Nobody knows that. That here, that's one stone. Yeah, people know that, but I mean, you have to know it too, here. You know that stone? The Rialto in Melbourne, that's the size of the Rialto. You want to move that with a bunch of slaves and whatever you want. 2,000 slaves? 10,000 slaves? 100,000 slaves? You can't do anything. And that is the anti-gravitation. They have the secret of anti-gravitation and they can move. Also, you have to understand the Great Pyramid. Did you think 2 minutes or even 2 seconds, if you want, or 2 hours, as I told you, that what they call the air shaft is directed on a special place in a galaxy to talk and to send thoughts to precise place they knew in different planet in a galaxy. Okay. So you can see, as I can see, to direct that shaft in a galaxy, it would be pretty easy if you build a pyramid, then you pierce, you know, you look like that and you know where to go, and you say, okay, I'm going to pierce, you know, a shaft in two. But it doesn't work like that. They build the pyramid, and as long as they bring the stone, the architects, the shaft is made. So you imagine the tremendous knowledge for an architect to put the pyramid at that place and for the building of the stone and the cutting of the stone too. It's incredible. You can't absolutely even imagine that with our so-called technology now. Now, I don't want to hurt your ego about so-called technology, so-called civilization, but too bad. You know, I'm going to tell you something. We are very proud on that planet Earth, not me, but certain people are, of the space shuttle. You want me to tell you what is a space shuttle compared to their spacecraft? Their spacecraft is the Concorde and the space shuttle is the wheelbarrow. It's exactly the same. You compare wheelbarrow and the space shuttle. The wheelbarrow, you can put a bit of money, you go there. And the Concorde, you can go wherever you want, around the Earth, you know, it's a difference. Eh? And it is exactly the same difference. So as long as we use rockets to put spacecraft, if we want to go on another planet, you want. Now, also another thing, don't worry. I never said that on my lecture, by the way, before, but at the early beginning, 2 years ago, if by accident or not accident we discover the way of anti-gravitation, transubstantiation, and we have the ability, possibility to visit other planets, those people are not going to let us do that. They are going to stop us even by violence, because they judge for the moment we are not able to look after our own backyard, as you know, because we pollute everything, and they're not going to let us go on another planet to pollute a second one in the universe. Now, at that time, as I say always, it's so many things to explain, so many things to talk, so many information in that book, and same time, I think I just touch the top of the iceberg, and I forget maybe a few lot of subjects or detail, and I ask the people here to be free to begin to ask any, absolutely, don't be shy, any question they want to ask. So here we go. I'm here. Yes, sir.
The search for extraterrestrial intelligence, listening to radio waves and things. It's being done on a large scale at the moment. But a scientist called Fermi, I think it was 20 years or so ago, formulated what's now known as Fermi's paradox. That is that he feels that the galaxy should be teeming with life, and yet we are not aware of it, not perceiving it in a physical sense. And so do you have any comments to make on that?
I didn't quite understand what you say about that scientist. He says the galaxy would be what?
Teeming, full of life.
Oh, yes, but I say that all the evening, that of course it's full of life. We have plenty planets inhabited in a galaxy. Mm. You read my book, didn't you? No.
I've read half the book.
Aha! Okay. And you didn't read the whole book.
But tomorrow...
Pick another one. Yeah. Okay, you read chapter 12 tomorrow. And you shouldn't go to chapter 12 directly, but you'll see it is a lot of different... Yes, very good, your question. Very, very excellent. Thank you. I just didn't understand what you wanted to me to tell you. Excellent. I can... Don't worry, don't be impatient. But, yes, because we have... Lot, of course, lot of planets are inhabited, but also different environment and different form of human being. But always humanoid. But you can have a form of certain planet, chapter 12, with a reptilian skin or a small person like that. Another one bigger. The proof is with those people who are gigantic. Same, I saw alien, and I let you the surprise in chapter 12, which were about perfectly built like us, miniature, like that. That's their size, you know, in one planet, I don't know which one, but it is in our galaxy also, you know. Have a different planet inhabited. Now, science fiction like to show you monsters and things like that. it's not only a good question, but it made me think. I forgot about to tell you something. Some people like that explanation on that. I never talked about it before. And finally, we are going to talk about the gray alien. Finally, Tao told me in Atlanta, Georgia, sent me a telepathic message, gave me the order to talk about it. And I talk about it. I almost broke the table. I was very angry. And it was a UFO room over there. And I almost broke the table. Because in front of me, they told me, oh, they're not very attentive in America. I said, not attentive? They are going to be attentive with me. I said, there's so much noise. Yeah, I was in America. And suddenly, I said, my God, what's going on here? It's 5 million of American people who really are sure they've been implanted by the gray alien. Then Tao sent me a telepathic message. Okay, go for it. So then I say that, and first of all I told them the Roswell crash was true. It was 6 aliens in Roswell crash, 5 died, 1 being kept alive for a while. Good. Secondly, people talk about gray and make photograph or design of ugly, like I say, science fiction. It is a bit true because all poor people are very ugly. But I saw ugly one in chapter 12. I don't tell you where, it's a chapter 12. And those ones called gray, I can't tell you exactly where they are because it's still forbidden for me. But they exist, good, but they're absolutely not dangerous like people think. First of all, it has been 100 to 150 people implanted by the gray alien on this planet, no more than that, not 5 million. So you say, why is 5 million people? Because it is a collective hallucination. You remember, I don't know if you remember, in a book, you had, at the beginning, in a book, Tao told me about hallucination they can make and how it's easy to hallucinate or illusionate people, and that's what can happen. And she even hallucinate or illusionate me and making the entire spacecraft blowing up. Good. Now, people have collective hallucination in America. Now, why the gray alien are having, why the gray alien are having, they have a problem. That's happened, they cannot. Why the gray alien having implanted about 100 to 150 earthly people. It's simple. Since 1948, with radiation, atomic radiation, which is very bad atomic radiation, we on this planet lose steady our immune system. For that, we can be very, very angry against people like Mururoa, French people, or making atomic tests, because very bad. So the atomic radiation make us losing steady our immune system. Those people, those grey aliens, know that. Know we are losing steady. So they are on their planet almost completely dying by lack of immune system. So what's happened, they are very interested to see how we are going to react on that matter. So what's happened, they implant very, very, very tiny, of course, stuff inside of few people, but they are not in command of those people. They are just using that like a camera under the water, if you like, you know, to a living laboratory. But they're not endangering those people. So I know it's a bit difficult to understand, but it is like that. And they're not going to invite us. Also, for many of the extraterrestrials, people think, oh, we are going to be invited, you know. You have to imagine something. You have to understand something very interesting. People who came here because it is a lot of rubbish about UFO, but it's still true stuff. Like 98% of sightings are mistake or people who want attention or blah, blah, blah. But it's still 2% of real spacecraft coming from different planets, visit us, observing us, repair the spacecraft, so on and so on. Of course. But not like people think it's it. Okay, those people, anyone they are, any who they are, have a tremendous technology already to come here and visit us, because we can do the same thing there. So imagine those people, they came and look at us and they say, oh my God, what a mess, because you have to admit we make a lot of mess around. They say, oh, maybe we think you got beautiful building or machinery. They laugh. And you know what they do? Same time they look at us like we go on a monkey's cage and look at the zoo. Do you want to sleep and live with a monkey in a zoo? No, they don't. I'm sorry if I hurt you. But they look at us like that and they say, hello, bye-bye, see you later. Huh? And you're not going to be invited. But the story of the alien, the gray alien, are exactly like I told you. I hope everybody understood that one. It is just they are dying by lack of immune system, and they are interested in seeing if they can have, learn something from us, because we're not dying yet, but we steady losing our immune system. They want to know how we are going to get out of it to copy us, maybe a bit. The lady, you had a question. Pardon? They have what?
Healing properties.
Yes. They have more than that, yes. They regenerate their cells at will.
But for us, do they help us at all?
They help us. Time to time they give a little push, of course. This time they want me to wake you up. They took me physically because... I'm going to tell you something. Thank you for that question. Very good question. Don't think I'm going to avoid any answer or anything like that. So if I do so, you ask again. I had to do that. But same time, I'm carrying. Now, what do I want to say? So, those people abducted me physically for a very, very simple reason, because I think, I saw that, like, everything I saw, everything happening to me is so extraordinary. If it was by astral, you know, by astral travel, with their help, I am a skeptic myself. If you read my book in chapter 11, when I touch a body there, I don't spoil the book for you, I don't tell you which body, I feel ashamed myself only to touch, because I am a skeptic. So I would, if I didn't go there physically, I would never believe what I saw myself. I would say all my life, ah, come on, it was a dream. It was a dream, a good dream. Same time a bit bizarre, but a dream, it's impossible, okay? But I was there, I've been there physically, I even came back with a bruise. When I came back, I slept for 36 hours, and I've been there, I eat there. By the way, I prefer the Australian food or any food than them, but this is another story. I bath there, I even swim there in the little mini swimming pool you can call, a Roman bath if you want to call it like that. And I breathe there, everything I've done there like I'm doing here. Even things you think about it, you know. So everything you do when you are with your physical body. And I disappear from my home for 9 days. But so I tell you that if I haven't been there physically, I wouldn't believe what I saw. So that's to answer your question, because they've done that to take me there, to make me witness, really witness it, to come back to report that to you. And of course, for the detail I didn't remember, and they helped me telepathically for the detail in a book. Did I answer your question? Yeah. Yes, gentlemen.
How can we go?
Oh, you've got the white cab or the red and white? What sort of taxi do you have here? You jump in it and you transubstantiate. Okay, I am joking. But if you are a good astral traveler, you could maybe contact Tao by astral and go there by astral, if you are really master of astral travel. Now I am answering seriously. It was a very good question.
Has anybody else done it besides you?
Ah, that one I told you before. Please remind me. Thank you very much. It's Victor, your name. Good. Do you remember when Tao say, sort of, shut up and do what I want, because she's like that? And she said, you are going to make a trip. Nobody knows, at least at this century. Okay. When my book went out in 93, and finally people start to read it, a friend of my good friend came and one day and said, I'll give you a present. Brought me a book. What's that? In French. The Book of Enoch. Anybody heard about that? Yes. Somebody? Yeah? Book? Ah, thank you. Book of Enoch. You read it?
It's on her tag.
I didn't even look the name. But it's a Book of Enoch.
Yes,
I hope he pick everything well in a book. Like, so I say, you want me to read the Bible? It's very nice, the Bible. I love it. But I already read it. He say, no, read it. It's an apocryph of the Bible. They don't want it in a Bible, but it's written a bit like the Bible. Enoch was, if you read it, you remember how many, 4,000 years ago? 5,000 years, he was a patriarch. Yeah, between Noah or something. The guy report in that book, in his own terminology, you know what he report? Don't you think it's a big resemblance? Did you read my book?
Yes, I have.
The Doko, that's the Crystal Palace. The angels, they all fly over there with that apparatus. If you read my book in chapter 12, when I try to fly myself, and Tao say, look behind Latyonusi, he got wings. I saw the wings. She illusionized me. She hallucinated. Black one. He can saw the golden one if he wants to. Enoch, Enoch in his own terminology, I am almost sure was abducted by those people at that moment, been there and came back and write that book. That was what I wanted to tell you. Very interesting. Don't you think so?
Of course, sir.
Read it again. Read the two books, that one and Enoch, and you see many, many, many resemblances. Very interesting. So I said to my friend, aha, now I understand why you gave me that book.
I have a question myself, if you have finished.
Hey, go for it.
Here. I would imagine then on the planet, on the ninth planet, the composition of the air would be so different to the composition of the air on Earth.
Not so much.
I take it that you were able to breathe the air.
Yeah. Mm. Not so much at all. The mind thing, of course, the air is absolutely pure and so on. The mind amazing things are, of course, the different gravity, but that can happen on many planets, more or less. But the mind thing is and also different animals. But the mind thing is the colors and the luminosity. Absolutely, if we have, as I say in the book, if we have 100 of if you have 20 shades of red over there, they got 150 example. You know, it's incredible. It's a joy for the eyes, and of course, being vibration, I understand why they are in good health. Sorry. Any other question? Yes. Yes, yes, I go with you too, yeah?
With the star system.
Pardon?
With the star system, mm-hmm. In your book, I haven't read it, but
you haven't read it?
Yet. I bought it today, thank goodness. And I wanted to ask you a question about Sirius.
Sirius?
The double star. I was wondering if you had any.
I don't know.
Oh.
It's very rare when I say I don't know in my lecture, but. You know, I went there through that spacecraft. I remember I saw Saturn, because maybe they've done that. They passed next to Saturn to show me something beautiful. We were 6 million kilometers away, but it was spectacular. I don't know if they've done it on purpose, but I don't know. Like, I don't even... I know they are next to the Pleiadian star, but I can't tell you, oh, yes, that's Tiaouba there, you know. Even you can't see it, because if you remember when I was on Tiaouba, I couldn't see Earth at naked eye because too small.
Did
Chapter 11.
Any information whatsoever about any of the solar system or galaxy stars or anything like that?
No. That's more scientific. I'm not... I am a bit repeating like a galah what I saw,
yes,
and what they told me to tell you, you know? Ladies?
Are we the only planet in the universe?
Pardon?
Are we the only planet in the universe that's destroying ourselves, or is there other planets like us? Or are we the only?
No. In our category of planet, because they are by category, we are very low, of course, category, but which is nothing to do with. No, unfortunately, it's different planet who've done the same mistake. Also, different. Obviously, you haven't read the book. Because a planet also destroys themselves with atomic destruction. You will read that in chapter 3. But as far as environment damage we're doing, no, we're not the only one. But generally it's happened on planet of our category, because people are very low level, we are very low level. But it's not because we are a low level we should be sort of ashamed or, you know, feel guilty or something. Don't get me wrong. It is the... Do you think a child of 5 years old is ashamed to be in a kindergarten? No. It would be ridiculous. It's exactly the same thing. We are in a kindergarten. We are, but that's us to us to do something and to, you know, okay, and talk like we're doing now. It's okay, it's all right, but we are exactly at the place where we have to do. We have to do something, we have to start by... We are on the lowest category level planet, which means the environment around us is very hard, is very harsh. I should explain that to you much better about the category of planet, by the way. They are the ninth category. And if you read my book, you say, oh my God, oh, that dear lady here, she's, oh my God, you're lucky to be there. And she's right, many people tell me that, because it's like a paradise over there. Because on that high category level, the environment of the planet by itself is different of our environment. like we said before, the air is like crystal, is no pollution, they don't have disease, etc. I give you a few childish examples. Example, if you go in North Queensland where I live, you go in a grass barefoot and you hurt yourself immediately with I will be with you. You hurt yourself immediately walking on sensitive plant, which name exactly Mimosa pudica. That plant is doing that when you touch it. It's full of sounds and you hurt yourself. Why is that? Why the nature done that? It shouldn't be like that. Why do you take a rose, you smell the beautiful rose, you hurt yourself with thorns. You know what I mean? And it is, we have to learn this way, you know? Why do you have malaria, cancer, AIDS? It seems terrible. Some people say, God, it's terrible. No. It has been by nature done like that. Because that's the way we have to learn, very, very hard way, on that category level. And if we don't have the same environment, exactly like in a university, you don't have the same environment that you have in a kindergarten, not the same toilet, not the same eating, you have your parents to look after you, you don't have the same stuff, everybody knows that, you know. But the same stuff. That's what I mean when I talk about category of planet and level of planet. Yes, sir.
Yeah, when you showed that picture of the moon, I may have misread it, but I thought I saw copyright 1959.
Yeah. That's the guy who find that. He find that, I don't know where.
1959.
Taken from the moon. NASA got that photograph from the hidden face of the moon. I don't know how they got it.
Were they on there?
What?
On the moon.
Uh-huh.
Well,
of course.
As far as I remember, I thought Armstrong was the first person to go there.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought so too.
So how come?
Armstrong?
He was. I was always of that persuasion.
No. When we're talking at the photograph. It is not a person like Armstrong going and photograph. It is when they have a satellite around the moon and took photographs there. Satellite. Not a person going with a camera on the moon. No. They were sending, like, exactly like now, they send something on Mars or Jupiter or whatever. The same stuff happened at that time on the moon.
Right, so that photograph was taken from...
Like that, the same way.
Before 1959.
Maybe not before, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Now that other one you showed of the pyramids on Mars, the photograph of the big face, which really interests me, was that photograph a computer-enhanced photograph?
Is what?
Was it a computer-enhanced photograph?
I don't know. You should ask my the guy who gave me the slide, my friend in Melbourne. But I am sure, you know, everybody shows that photograph in every newspaper.
I've seen the photograph many times.
Yeah,
I've just always been...
You were maybe skeptic?
No.
I'm not telling you skeptic about me, but skeptic about the guy who took the photograph, maybe.
No, I'm not even skeptical about that.
Oh, good.
I am skeptical about this computer enhancement, because as far as I can see, and this is why I'm asking, the computer enhancement just consists of doing a mirror image
of
the one that's seen.
Yeah.
And you get this thing that supposed to be a big, big face.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
No, you're right. I'm sorry if I can't give you more, because I'm not good on computer, I'm not good on anything. But for me, of course, I know what is on Mars.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, all those photographs, you'll see more about a lot of things, because it is something on Mars.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no body there anymore.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. Mars cooled down. In every solar system, you have every many solar system, you have very often only one planet inhabited at a time, and after hundreds and thousands and millions of years, that planet cooled down, but this nobody can live anymore. But example, to give you an example, if the Earth cooled down and Venus at the same time